We're thankful for that today, and I told Brother Eddie the other day that I thought Brother Martin had been backslid on us because he hadn't been to church in a while, but I'm glad that you got Brother Martin back into church again, and not talking no relation to you, Rick, by the way. We're talking about the guitar up here, so... But it is good to have everybody in the house of the Lord today, and we want to thank you for coming out and be with us. We want to thank for all the people that are watching the stream live over there. Y'all might not realize it, but there's 3 or 4 to 1 that watch us on the internet that are at the house of the Lord today. But we appreciate those folks that are tuning in by the way of the... they say they put us in a cloud. You ought to know something about that, Jeff. You're higher up than the rest of us up there. But they said they put us in a cloud, and sometimes magically they pull it out of that cloud. I'm thankful today that the Lord is coming back in a cloud. And I'm thankful that I'll be taken away in a cloud. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm not looking toward the grave, but I'm looking forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in great power and great glory today. Hey, listen, beloved, if you came here to listen to a fairy tale, you at the wrong place today, because we're going to do some reality preaching. And I think that that's what we need in 2019 is folks that will stand up and do some reality preaching. It's easy to preach a fairy tale, and it's easy to preach something else, but I'm here to tell you that God is getting ready to come in great glory. And we're going to talk about something today that I think that is very pertinent to the days we're living. The Bible talks about this generation. And I want you to note right off the bat, you know, we always try to blame problems on different generations. You know, I don't keep them all straight. There's X, Y, and Z, they always name every 10 years a different generation. But it's talking about more about a period of time. It's actually talking about a 40-year period of time. If you'll remember over there that in the Old Testament, how that Moses was led in the wilderness for 40 years for that generation. How many of y'all believe that we could be that very generation that will be present when the Lord returns? Hey, listen, I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church, and I'm looking forward to being called up to be with him in the air, and so shall I ever be with the Lord. But we're going to look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to be reading verses 36 through 39. That's Matthew chapter 23, verses 36 through 39. Excuse me, 36 through 39, as we think about this generation. And... as we do that, if you are able, I'd like for folks to stand when we read the Word of God. If you don't mind doing that, we stand for everything else in the world. We stand for, but I think we ought to stand when we hear the Word of God, if we're able today. The Bible reads such as this, Matthew chapter 23, verses 36. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which have set upon thee, which thou would, I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see us henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for giving us this message. We thank you for giving us this time and this people. And Father, we pray that you'd hide us behind the cross and use us as your vessel today. Father, open up the ears to the hearing, the eyes to the blind, Father, that we might see the times in which we live. And Father, that you go and be with us. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated this time. Hey, listen, I almost want to put a disclaimer today. We're going to see things that you've never saw today, and it might be disturbing to some. We're not going to rate this sermon today, but I want you to realize that God is pointing a finger today and saying, this is that generation. The Bible says over there, and it gives us so much of a vivid description about what this generation will be. The Bible said over there in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 22, it said that this generation will profess themselves to be wise and have become fools. That's what the Bible says. You say, I don't much like it. Well, I don't much care if you do or not. Take it up with the author. This generation is wise, but a foolish generation. Have you ever seen anybody that was just real wise, but just real foolish too? That describes this generation. This generation over there, why are they so foolish? Because the next verse says over there that they change the glory of God likened unto beasts and images. In other words, we entered back into worshiping things or the creation instead of the Creator. We worship into a time over there that we need something tangible to hold and something tangible to look at, and we forget about the Creator that created all things. We're that generation that not only changed the glory of God, but we changed the truth of life of God, that they'd rather believe fables. They'd rather believe a lie. And the Bible says they'll be damned. Listen, I tell you one thing that troubles me so much, and I listen around, I don't know how much sound preaching there is left in America anymore. I don't know how much sound teaching that there's left at the house of God anymore. I know that we're that generation that think we're smart, but we're somewhat very foolish. This is that generation. Not only this generation is a generation that is wise, but foolish. We're that generation that is religious, but it's lost. How many folks can say today that thank God, God got a hold of me before religion did. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to tell you today that this generation is a generation that's religious but lost. Why is that? It's because in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy as he addressed this generation. He said they're having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. In other words, they're going through the motions, but they have no power. Hey, listen. Can y'all remember when the church used to have some power? Y'all remember when God's people used to have power? Hey, you probably even can remember a time when you had a little power. Amen. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Thank God that word deny is in there. Why is that? Means it ain't went nowhere. Still got it. It ain't went nowhere. Still in your possession over there, but you deny that you've got it. Hey, listen, how many of you folks was ever the black sheep of the family? I thought I had some friends here today. You ever have that person in your family that you just didn't really talk about, you just assumed they go away and just kind of denied their existence? Well, they're still there. That's like that power that we think we've lost. It's still there. We just deny it. But we're a generation that's very religious, but we have no power. Hey, listen, there's power in the throne room of God today. There's power in the blood. There's power in the church today if we would just quit denying it and reach down in there, because it didn't go nowhere.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll go with you even unto the end. And I believe him today, and I'm going to hold God's word. But this generation is religious, but it's lost. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We're so tied up in church today with the social ills, and people are making the blessed pulpit a soapbox for agendas today. No wonder we don't have no power. See, it's about us instead of about him. You know, church started becoming something that was about the people instead of about him. Oh, my friend, we're that generation. We're that generation over there that become very religious. But in our strife for religion over there, millions of people are dying and going to hell because they're lost and undone. Why is that? We give lip service to the Lord and not heart service. You know, it's easy for us to boast about who we are. It's easy for us to go about and talk about all that I have done. And we can give lip service all day, and we can profess salvation all day long. But listen, honey, if that heart has not been removed, that heart has not been transplanted, that heart has not been changed, then you are not giving heart service to the Lord. You are lost, dying, and going to hell. This is that generation. We see it going on right now, don't we? Can you identify it? We see it going on right now. They're the folks that kind of want to clean the outside of the platter, but don't want to eat on the inside. You know what I'm talking about? Just kind of spoon around. What we have today, and I use this word a whole lot because nobody else come up with a term. I came up with one. We're living in a time where we have a mega church mentality. Long as it's big, it's better. And I call that mega church mentality. And let me tell you why folks like that mega church mentality is because you can get lost in the crowd. You know, if you've got 500 or 600 people, you can slip in and slip out. You can go in and nobody will ask you to do anything. Nobody will ask you to take a part. Nobody will demand for you to do anything over there. And you can live religiously and have no power. You don't know how to get power with God? First of all, drop down on your knees and pray over there. Invite the Holy Ghost to come in and fill you over there. And then roll up your sleeves.
Amen.
Do something for the Lord. I've been preaching for a generation, by the way, this year. 40 years, that's a generation. I have seen it come and go. No, I've been here 38. I've been preaching 40 now. Don't you correct me on that. This generation. You know, the seven churches that the seven letters were written to in the book of Revelation is talking about the seven churches that was created on Paul's missionary journeys over there, but they symbolize more than just a building. They symbolize church ages. The last age over there, it says, is the church of Laodicea. And it said over there that church thought they were rich, but they were poor. That church over there said that they had a form of godliness, but they, because they were neither hot nor cold, the Bible says God spewed them out of his mouth. We are living in the age of Laodicea today. In other words, the way we're acting, the way the church is doing, makes God sick. You ever go over there to, now at our house, we don't have no real fancy plumbing. We just got water that runs through. And I know you folks that have nice houses, you've got better plumbing than us. But hey, listen, when my wife runs the dishwasher, and not me, she runs the dishwasher sometimes, that's me, but sometimes when she runs the dishwasher, if you go over to our sink and you put your cup under there and you open it up, even though it's in the cold side, you'll get hot water. And here you are thinking that you're going to get a big old dose of good cold water, and you put it up, and the minute it hits your palate, it's hot water, and what's the first thing you do? You spit it out. That's right, William. It's the way God is, the way that this generation is. We're not what we profess to be. We find over there that this generation is rich, but it's miserable. This generation is rich, but it's miserable. He told the church of Laodicea over there in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. He said, "For thou art rich and increased in goods, but thou art wretched, poor. Thou art wretched, poor, and miserable." He said, "Your barns are running over, but you still don't have nothing." Well, I tell you what, God blessed America to the point there ain't one in this building that will not get down on your knees. Thank God for three things. Number one, that he sent his son to die for me and that I can accept his blood and I can be saved today. Number two, that I was born an American. And some of you can say, and I was born in the South. Some of you can't. Some of y'all are double blessed. Some of you are triple blessed. Listen. God is wanting to speak to this generation so that we can have an understanding that we are that generation. It will explain some of the things that are going on today. Clay County's changing. Not for the best. People are changing. Not for the best. We are that generation. And the Bible is so plain in outlining what that time will be. Not only are we rich, but we're a miserable generation. I have never seen a time where that people are so unsatisfied. This generation is a bloody generation. You say, "Explain that, preacher." I'm glad you asked. We have murdered, with a capital M, over 60 million babies since Roe versus Wade. We care more about our dogs than we do about our children. And we wonder why we can't have peace. I tell you what the United States needs to do. We need to get a conscience. Yeah. The Bible says that this generation And he said it over there through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 11. He said, they cry peace, peace, when they are without peace. See, we wander around why that we don't have no satisfaction. And we look because we got blood on our hands. We wander over there why we can't have no peace over there. We look at the turmoil that we've done over there. Hey, how can God bless a nation with peace when we murder 60 million babies? Tell me. How can God bring about peace over there when we have people who think more of Fido than they do their young ones? We are that generation because of the blood on our hands that we cry out, peace, peace, when there is no peace. I tell you what we need today, church, we need to make peace with God. Amen. We need to make peace with God, and we need the peace of God. You know, the Bible says that he's willing to give us peace which passes all understanding. We need to start at Moss Memorial Church. And you know, there's turmoil going on in their life. There's turmoil going on in a society. There's turmoil going on in the county. But that don't mean that you can't have peace. Because real peace comes from God. It don't come from things. It don't come from your neighbor. It don't come from your wife. It comes from God today. But if we can change this thing in this generation, if we could cleanse the blood off of our hands and ask God to bring us some peace in our lives today. I'm going to tell you, the road's going to get rocky. I don't know if I'll live long enough to see it. But I know that the Lord is getting ready to come back. And I'll tell you, whether I go by the clouds or the clods, it really don't make no difference to me. Because where I end up is going to be the same.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This generation is young, but dangerous. You know, we blame the generation before on everything that's ever happened to us. Amen. You remember that? I was a kid, grew up in the 60s, and I remember, my mama's done forgive Elvis. Amen. Listen, we just look back at Jerry and shake our head. Oh, my gosh. I've told you many times, and those of you that grew up with me, you know, they always wondered about, always worried about your kids going, getting in the wrong crowd. I was the wrong crowd. Generation is young but dangerous. Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it said in the last days, perilous times will come. I like that word, will. That means didn't say may come, a possibility might happen. It said they will come. We're living in perilous times, by the way. For it said over there, and it goes on to describe them over there, said, for men shall be lovers of themselves. Somebody described this last generation as the me generation. It's all about them. Brother Carl, I wish they'd bring a draft back. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Those of you that have sat there and watched the TV waiting for your number to come up. For men shall be lovers of themselves. I have never in my life saw a more selfish time that we're living in. No wonder we fuss and fight. No wonder we can't get along. No wonder over there that our country is so polarized that we couldn't get nothing passed if we wanted to, Washington, D.C. Because it's all about me. It's all about mine. Because we're that generation that have become lovers of themselves. We're that generation. Not only are we lovers of ourselves, the Bible says, he describes them a little further. He said they're boasters, they're proud, and they're unholy. They're boasters, and they're proud, and they're unholy. You know, when it's all about you, you like to talk about it. You like to boast about it. When it's all about you, well, with our, not only like to talk, you're proud about it. God help us. I was watching today, they having them gay pride parades today. Well, first of all, I want to tell you something. I hope this goes down. I'm probably going to get in trouble. It ain't the first time I've ever been in trouble, by the way. There's nothing gay about being queer. Look the word gay up. But I didn't say, but I said that to say this. I remember a time when it used to be a shameful thing, but now they boast about it because it's about themselves. I remember a time over there that it was a thing to be ashamed of. Now they have pride over it. They're proud about it. Not only was there a time over there where they didn't boast, they didn't proud, now it's not unholy. God does not change. God does not change. And I'll get some flack about that, and I get, but that's okay. This generation is a powerful but afraid. Luke chapter 2 and verse 26 said that men's heart faileth them because of fear. Men's heart faileth them because of fear. I don't think that we have anybody here, but I believe that with a shadow of a doubt that we would all agree that those that were alive and well and serving in World War II was the greatest generation we'll ever know. Can I get a witness on that? The miracles of World War II could not be recreated in America no more. World War II was won as much on the home front as it was on the battlefield. We as a nation become one functioning unit that for one just cause. And we came to the peak of all that we could be. And I believe that was the greatest generation that we'll ever know. To say that is this. This generation is powerful, but they're afraid. This generation fears the past. Listen, it's no wonder that they want to tear down our memorials. Listen to me now. You might not agree with what I said. Well, go agree with this. That's why they want to tear down our memorials. Parents, grandparents, they don't teach history in school no more. They do not teach history in school no more. Grandparents, parents, go out here, go to the thrift stores, go to the yard sales over there. You better buy your grandkids some history books because if they don't get it from you, they will not learn it at school. Because this generation is afraid of the past. That's why they want to destroy it. That's why they don't want a generation to know it. That's why they, not only are they afraid of the past, this generation fears the present. Now, what is the antidote for fear? Faith. When we lost faith, we entered into fear. For us to face tomorrow, we need to know who holds tomorrow. For us to face the things that are unseen, we need an unseen hand. So for this generation to quit fearing yesterday and quit fearing the present, we need to become people of faith again. And last thing, this generation is hopeless, but God offers hope. Acts chapter 27, verse 20 says this, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. As long as we think it's hopeless, it will be. As long as we're a people without hope, there'll be no hope to be found. Psalmist David said in the 39th Psalm, verse 7, my hope is in thee. If your hope's in Washington, D.C., you're hopeless. If your hope's in the Republican Party, you're hopeless. If your hope's in the Democrat Party, you're hopeless. If your hope is in anything else that this world has to offer, you're without hope. And until we turn to the Lord, because as the psalmist David said, my hope is in thee. I like what Zechariah said in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12. He described us as this. He said, ye are prisoners of hope. I like that, don't you? We are prisoners of hope. And what he's saying over there is that we're incarcerated in hope. I'm glad today that I am surrounded by hope. I'm a prisoner of hope today. And I know this has not been one of those... raise your hands and shout hallelujah sermons. But it is the truth, my friend. It is reality. So what can we praise the Lord about? I'm glad to be a part of this generation. How about you today? You say, why am I glad to be a part of that generation? I'm going to see the Lord come back. I'm going to hear the shout. Hey, listen, but in the meantime, I've got a grand opportunity to be a witness during this time. I can be the hope to the hopeless, is what you knew today. This generation, let's sing a song of invitation if you'll gather up something. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, 16 and 17, he said, wherefore shall I liken this generation? Wherefore unto I shall liken unto this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling out their fellow and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. That is this generation. In other words, the world won't do a little song and dance on you. Amen. That's what it's saying. A little song and dance. Put on a little show. biggest church in America. I don't know what he preached on today, but I guarantee that they had this underlying topic, because it's the only message I ever heard a man preach. It's good. It ain't good. It ain't good. That's like putting a Band-Aid on a sucking chest wound. No, it's serious business right here. People are dying and going to hell today by believing that. Listen, we want you to stand as we sing. God spoke with your heart. We want you to move. Hey, listen, if you can't do nothing else today, why don't you come and pray for this generation right here and now? Hey, you're part of that generation. You say, no, I'm not part of that. Yes, you are part of that. If you believe that the Lord's coming back any day, you're part of that today. We are that generation. We're going to ask that you come as we sing.
Page 89.
Page 89. In my